Welcome to Modern Musings, conversations with the maiden, mother, and crone, looking at ourselves and the world through the lens of the 21st century. Hello, welcome back to our podcast. I am Amber Jones, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Kristen Hessler and Cindy Murray.
Hello. Howdy.
And today we have a pretty fun topic. It's one of my most favorite topics, which is why I'm hosting. I'm just kidding. It's one of my most favorite topics.
You
it's
did one put of, it on the list.
It's one of my most favorite things, and that is art.
I love art, too.
Me too.
Yeah, all three of us love art. So it's going to be a fun topic today because, you know, I mean, and the title of it is What is Art? Well, I have a couple of definitions here, you know, from the dictionary. Art is the expression or application of human creative skill and imagination. Mm-hmm. That's one definition. Another definition is various branches of creative activity, such mm-hmm. as visual art, music, literature, everything like. And then another definition I have is art is a visual object or experience consciously created through an expression of skill or imagination. And I just love that because art is full of imagination.
And that leaves it wide open as well.
Yeah, exactly. I like those very broad terms. They're not leaving anything out.
Yeah, there are so many interpretations of art. One person's art could be another person's trash. You know, well, I mean, honestly, you could pick up trash and turn it into art.
People do it.
Art is wonderful. I live every day in awe of art, and I work at a visual arts school. I love theater. I love dance. I love music. Mm-hmm. I love poetry. I love everything that has to do with art. I love visual art. I actually recently went on a cruise for my honeymoon, and I became an art collector. Well, I mean, I already was an art collector, mm-hmm. but I bought some art. Mm-hmm. on a cruise that I went on my honeymoon several months ago. So what I guess what I'm saying is I don't have a favorite type of art. But I want to pose this question to you ladies. What is your favorite type of art?
That's a really tough question.
I am a fan of all different kinds of art. I love visual arts of all kinds, and I like interactive art. I like painting. I like sculpture. I love the imagination and the skill that it takes to create art. And my husband and I used to love going to interactive art exhibits here in Dallas. This is a cultural center for art of all different kinds, art, music, dance. There's just tons of great museums and galleries here and little small exhibits. And I love all of it. I will even go as far as to say, you know, we went to the Judd Museum last summer and in Marfa, and while
a lot of his stuff
is not my taste necessarily, I can thoroughly appreciate some of the things that we saw there, particularly like the artist who did the light stuff with the neon lights and stuff. It was not something
some would argue with is that art, like neon lights or just boxes, such as Judd's
geometric boxes.
Boxes.
I have a good topic to talk about.
Well, and that is a big question. And, you know, they often say that art is in the eye of the beholder.
Mm-hmm.
Judd spent many, many years working on those geometric boxes. Out of different materials and different colors. And I mean, there is a whole airplane hangar full of those little boxes. And there's
multiple buildings. I mean, he had them in other places.
Yeah, there's a whole like area of just like those boxes sitting outside in the open.
Yeah, well, that was the concrete ones.
Yeah, the concrete boxes.
But yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, he had them like scattered all over the city in different buildings.
Yes, but then there was that airplane hangar that had nothing but those in it.
The boxes,
probably 30 to 50 in there. I don't know how
I don't know how many there are, just different variations of the same metal cubes but with different angles missing or added or, you know, changed out in them. And, you know, like I say, it's not necessarily my I'm not going to say it's not my idea of art, because I think it is art. I just think it's not necessarily my aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I felt like Judd's art, his like 50,000 different cubes, was not much different than someone practicing drawing
practice.
Hands over and over again. It was just on a bigger scale because it was sculpture and it was installation art. So you're seeing like him practicing over and over and over again and studying the cube and its many forms, because the cube is not just this six-sided thing. It's also so different.
Well, and he would cut a corner off and add a
the
slope
placement
to it or
where
whatever
it is in a room, and how big the room is, and the lighting in the room, and the metal
and the material
that, it's made
that he made. Exactly. Yeah, it wasn't even all metal. Some of it was acrylic and other things, you know. So, and sometimes it was painted or whatever. And so, it was a study. It was like he was doing a study, and just, you know, creating the same thing over and over in different ways to perfect his art. And, you know, if you think of this as a sculpture that's installed outside of a building or like maybe a bank lobby or something like that, if you walked into a bank lobby and you saw a roughly cubic sculpture with like some weird angles and maybe some plexiglass or whatever on it, you would say that's an art sculpture. So why would it not be just because he made lots and lots of them and they were all very similar?
And that's that whole thing, that 70% rule, like that it's only art if you only make one of them and it's perfect. That's not true, because anyone who actually does art knows that it takes thousands and millions of them to get.
Well, and that's like photography.
Definitely on the photography
when
part,
photography classes, I was told that you take 100 photographs to get one usable photograph. And you know, when you're doing that kind of thing, when you go have your portrait done, they take hundreds of sometimes click with you in the same position, just to make sure that they catch you with your eyes open and not blinking and you're, you know, whatever. And then they'll turn you a little bit. They'll take hundreds of pictures to get you that set of portraits that you're looking for. Same thing with like a journalistic photographer.
Mm-hmm.
They go to a concert or a sports event or a house fire or a car wreck or whatever, and they're taking hundreds of pictures to get that one picture for the newspaper or whatever, you know. So,
well, I mean, you kind of have to, like, a lot of the people's art, you know, that's in the museum or that they're selling, that's not their first try on that.
Exactly. How many copies or renditions of the Mona Lisa were there before we got the one that's hanging in the Louvre, you know?
And what's behind the Mona Lisa?
And what's behind it? What did they paint over? Yeah, which is, when we've toured the Dallas Museum of Art, there was an exhibit many years ago, artists who used photography to aid in their art. And so they would like have the artists or that have the models pose, and then they would sketch it out like several times based on what they had them posed. And then they would like, they would take a photograph and then they would sketch from the photograph and then they would paint it. And then they, and you know, canvas costs a lot of money, but you know, back in, I mean, it still does, you know, you, if you are a prolific painter, you go through hundreds of dollars worth of canvases. So it's not unreasonable to think that you could just paint over one and paint something else on top of it or redo that. You know, you get halfway through the painting and you don't like the colors you chose, or maybe you want the head to be turned a little bit differently in the portrait or whatever, and you just scrape it off and start all over. So, and then, you know, we see in the works of Da Vinci, you know, many times, like you're talking about the study of the hands, the study of, you know, figure drawing of different body parts and things. Over any sketch artist has a sketchbook full of the same sketch over and over and over again, where they're practicing. And really, to me, that's what art is. Art is not this final product that is out there, that the art is the artistry.
It's the definition that she just gave you, which is the act of
the
actually
act of
doing.
Creating yeah. something.
Can you read that first one again?
The expression or application of human creative skill and imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has nothing in the definition that says, like,
it's valued,
it's very good,
it's cost,
or it costs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this goes to another question, because I want to have this argument. I've had people tell me multiple times that so-and-so is not an artist, because of the type of art they do. And I've actually been treated that way myself.
Well, that's person's definition of art.
Well, and,
they don't,
okay. Yeah. Hold on a minute, though.
Okay.
So I've actually been to a craft guild here in Dallas. And yes, that was, they really consider themselves more fine arts. And there's art, there's fine art. Maybe that's the difference that some people want to delineate there.
And then there's arts and crafts, and then there's craft work.
But I was treated very poorly by these people, because they were blowing glass and binding books and creating sculpture and firing, you know, clay pots or whatever. But I was looking for a space to come in and teach paper crafting, and they just looked totally down their noses at me. And so I just gave up on that idea. But I also have people who are, that I know who are artists, who look at other people that I know who profess to be artists. And I call myself an artist. I have never been classically trained. I have not gone to art school. I've had photography classes. I had art in high school, but I practice artistry of varying different kinds. I paint, I draw. I don't consider myself to be ultra talented, but I enjoy doing it. I've created things that have received compliments, and I call myself an artist because I create things that are artistic in nature. My, one of the other people that I know does this, and yet is, people tell her that she's not an artist. Maybe not even as much to her face, but I hear it sometimes, you know, and I'm like, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that judgment. Because when I looked it up. So I was like, when can you call yourself an artist? And there are, this is so hotly debated. It's just like, what is art? Who is an artist? So here's one. This it says on United Art Space, when is it okay to call myself an artist? And this says a person who practices or performs any of the creative arts, such as a sculptor, filmmaker, actor, or dancer. There's no mention of qualifications, how much money you make, or the years of experience you have. It's quite acceptable to call yourself an artist, even if you don't make a living or are trained, right?
You only need to make one, because if you make, let's say, a clay pot, for instance, mm-hmm. set it on the table, and someone says, and the artist who made this was so-and-so.
Right.
You make one, you are an artist.
Right. And so...
maybe just of that one thing, but
maybe,
still an artist.
Maybe mm-hmm. this person's art is not your kind of art.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's
but it is art to the beholder. Other people. And it right. is in the eye of the beholder. So, I mean, people might look at some of my stuff and say, that's not art. But I do collage.
It fits that definition.
And
absolutely.
It fits that definition. Fits so I'm thinking it is. And there's just, I don't know. I'm not.
So in art appreciation, this is the age old question. What is art? And this is where the debate gets people really fired up, because there is this, who is it that you can judge, you know, what is art and who determines what is art and what is not.
Well,
and technically, based on Amber's definition, nobody except for the person who creates it is the judge of whether or not it's art or not.
Right. But according to people who have been classically trained in fine art, and that's why I say maybe it's that distinction between art and fine art, that the because their idea is whether it is saleable, you know, whether someone is willing to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
The art critics are who decides whether it is art.
Right.
And I'm like, well, but that's like saying, if you applied that to other things like music, what is music? Mm-hmm. Right. So if I play Had a Little Lamb, is that music? If
yes.
I sing that to my child, is that music? But, you know, somebody else can say it's not music because it's only intended for little kids.
You haven't made a recorded album or been on stage for thousands of people.
Right. Then it's not music. It's not value. You know, it's not valued. So it's not music. So you would not do that. You would not apply that terminology to music. So why would you apply that to art?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So art has really two definitions. It's a give and take relationship
mm-hmm.
when you're talking about, like, is art to me? That is your definition. And then there's, like, the global definition, like Amber's. That's, in general, art, any art.
I think
and
if
then
anyone
you
calls
have,
it art, then it,
right,
if somebody
absolutely.
Can look at it and
right.
see that it's art.
And I think that is why people debate on whether or not something is art, because they have their own definition of what they consider art.
Right.
And they are applying their personal definition to
that perspective. Yeah.
And it's a give and a take. There is the artist, the person creating it, and then there is the person receiving the art by looking at it, who is determining, is this art?
Right.
Because if you also take into consideration your definition, read it again. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm making you read it again.
I think we should go over it multiple times.
The expression or application of human creative skill and imagination.
A vehicle. Think about a car.
Uh-huh.
Is that not an imagination and expression by creating something that you came up
Artists
with in
drew
your
that car.
Mind? Someone invented
yes, someone
the car
probably
and said, "Ooh, I want to."
Someone probably
get in
took
this
a piece of clay or wood or something else and carved out the shape of that
mm-hmm.
car because they do that.
Right. But someone said, "Ooh, I want to be able to move from this place to this place without using my feet." Right? They use their imagination and ingenuity and created a car. Wouldn't also a car
be art?
Art.
Yes.
Just as a building, sculpture, or not clothing. Sculpture, sorry, architecture.
Architecture is art.
Actually, yes, clothing. Well, that's what clothing, I'm saying. But some people don't understand that everything is art. If it is created, it is art.
And
yes.
Yeah.
If basically, it is saying
music
like
is
a
art.
Human.
Music
yes,
is art.
A human
film
creating
is
it is art because we
books
are doing
are art.
What we see
are.
In our mind, we are making it out of the elements, right?
Right.
So, architecture. This house, technically,
if it's designed or created, it's
mm-hmm.
art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So maybe it's manufactured and mass produced at some point, like clothing, but the original
but art,
piece.
Fine art can also be mass produced.
Absolutely.
Because
they make art
prints.
Yes. It is still art if it's on a piece of poster that was printed.
Yeah,
is it art? Yes, because someone painted it. They created it.
They
from
made
their
a
imagination.
Copy of it, and they and
yeah.
you have it hanging
and
on your wall to appreciate
that. Yes. And if you're willing to see that definition as just that, then you see the world differently because everything that you look at is artwork.
Oh, that's true.
Is
yeah.
art.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody put their passion into it.
Right, right. And
yeah.
I think that's it. Yeah. And do you call yourself an artist? I do call myself an artist.
That was
a
really hard thing for me to be able to say that.
It took me a long time to say that because I would say I'm a crafter. And I don't even often call myself a talented crafter. You know, I'm just a, but after some time I started calling myself an artist. I believe that I am an artist because what I build with paper, with mixed media, with my collage, with three-dimensional paper things, I call them art. I quilt, I embroidery, I paint, I draw.
And see that, and the quilting, like that's art too. Like you can enter that stuff to win prizes. Like
and you get rewarded for the artistry.
Yeah, the artistry, the intricate nature of things such as that. Like
because you use elements of design.
Mm-hmm.
In creating those things. Yeah.
So, yeah, by that definition, pretty much a lot of things. I mean, even food is art.
Culinary. Oh. Yep.
Culinary, like you go to a fancy restaurant and they
that presentation.
Artfully put it on the plate.
Yes.
Food
yes.
is art as well.
Yes. So we've had the debate. What is the artist's name, Kristen? We've talked about
this before.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so let me tell you about some art that is probably like the most argumented of art, which is Dada or Dadaism. Dadaism.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the most popular one is Marcel Duchamp, I believe. It's called Fountain, and he took a urinal. It's 1917, so not like the urinals of today. But he took a urinal, turned it on its side, and signed his name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole purpose of Dadaism is that it's absurd and to argue what is art. Literally,
right. That was literally his point, was
mm-hmm.
that I'm calling this art, therefore it is
art. It is art. And it makes me irritated in some ways because I'm like, that's not art. You didn't make it. But when I go back to my original statement earlier,
but
that
he saw
someone,
it from a different perspective. He
and someone else created
it.
That. Someone, you know, the urinal, it is ceramic. It was created.
Right. But it was also presented
in a different way.
And that sometimes is like with photography, what makes it art? You know, taking a photo of something from a different angle or in a
mm-hmm.
different light
mm-hmm.
or, you know, looking at something in a different way. And that that is true of all art. A great artist is someone who can look at something, a great artist, not just an artist, but a great artist, can look at something and present it in a way that you've never seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what makes it great art, because you see things that you never would have noticed, or it gives you perspective, or it gives you an emotional response to it. And that a lot of times I think is part of the artistry, or what defines art, is that it captures an emotion or something like that, or it makes the viewer have an emotion of some sort, even if it's like, oh my God, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Right?
Yeah. So that really is what makes art what it is, and that's also what makes the debate, is that it evokes like that response.
Right.
So like the cup, the hairy cup.
Oh, yeah.
I think I blogged about that when we were doing cups. I think that was like maybe our first season.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
that cup. Was
or no,
weird.
That was season two. That okay. was actually season two.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, so Oppenheim's cup is like, she made like a plate and a cup. And I think there's also a spoon. It's like a saucer and
mm-hmm.
a cup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like lined with fur. And the whole purpose for her was that when you look at that cup, it evokes like a response, because you think about like drinking out of it and mm-hmm. the hair tickling your nose, or like what it would feel like to eat out of that. That's what that kind of art does, is it gives you that response. And I think that's what most people, when they try to define art, they are only wanting to give credit to art when it gives them a pleasant response.
Oh, yes, yes. But there mm-hmm. is that any somatic response, which is anything that causes your body to have a response, you know, that
like
that
ASMR.
Is, right, right. So even that is a form of art. There is a whole genre of art geared at creating somatic response. Like you said, ASMR sometimes, and not all ASMR is a pleasant response. Some people listen for the, listen or watch or whatever for the horrifying or the disgust or whatever, what have you. That is a whole other genre of it. I remember seeing paintings at the Lubbock Arts Festival. Every year they would always have one, and there would be art on display that you could buy or whatever. And I remember there was one that was like I can't remember the artist's name, the name of the artwork, but it was a huge piece. It was a huge painting, and it just looked like bloody basically. it was disgusting, but that was one of the pieces of art that they had on display, and I'm not going to say it was good or bad. I mean, it took artistry to create that piece of art, because you can't just slap a bunch of red paint on and make people think that looks like a bloody nightmare, you know? Mm-hmm. It took skill to create that. And that was the response that they were trying to get out of it. So mm-hmm. is it my taste in art? Absolutely not. I would never, go in search of that or hang that on my wall or anything like that. But I can appreciate the skill of the artist who created it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing there. I don't know. Like I say, going back to the people, you know, that call certain kind of artist art and some are not, maybe it's not so much that you should call them not artist or that it's not art. Maybe it's just not your style or your taste. I've had people argue that a photograph is not good because it doesn't have the rule of thirds. But there's always rules. Rules are always created to be broken. A good artist knows when to break the rules and do something. And if you see a photo that's taken without the rule, without using the rule of thirds, which in case you don't know, it's like dividing up the field in the shape of a tic-tac-toe. And you want to kind of go for those overlapping lines, the corners where that's where you want your eye to be drawn to. So the rule is to put the photo into one of these little quadrants or towards one of those quadrants. But if someone breaks that rule and puts the subject in the middle of the photo, does that mean it's not a photo?
Of course not.
Right. It may not be your taste of a photo, may not be a good photo, but it's still a photo.
Yeah.
So if it's art, it's still art.
Right.
Yes.
That's interesting too, because minimalism is an argument of art that some people can't see as art because it's devoid of personal expression.
Right.
It's just using the form and like the elements and principles of design. So it's, you know, maybe like the minimalism of, oh man, I lost his name. The guy we saw in Marfa.
Judd,
thanks. His art didn't have faces.
Right.
It didn't have nature.
It didn't have personality.
It didn't have personality. It was just
objects.
You experiencing the object in the space that it was in, because he gave room.
Right.
And that's one of the things to think about with installation art is that
it's created for the space it's in too.
Yes. And his art, like, there was a lot of space in between each of these cubes. It's really hard to like imagine, just like you said, it was an airplane hangar.
One of them was an airplane hangar,
and
full
of
them.
It was huge.
Yes.
And so there's all this negative space, the walk around room to view the art. And
well, it was all planned out too. Like the,
space that's,
was
the space
part
is,
of the art.
It is
right.
part of the
it
art.
It was
absolutely.
Part of the art. Yes.
And
that was his whole point.
That's why his house was the way it was too.
Yes.
Highly
recommend the tours. They were very interesting.
It was, for me, I was so glad to see that artwork at that time in my life, because I was really like getting into like the decluttering and stuff and exploring what it was like to be a minimalist. And I wasn't intending on going to see a minimalist art, you know, like, because when I think of Marfa, I think of like Southwest style art.
Yeah.
Not
well, and there is a lot
art.
Of that there too.
Yeah. But that was so present there.
Yes.
That it really, like, it was really good to experience that, you know, like so far away from like the hubbub of the city. Even it itself, it's like a fractal. I don't know. I'm getting weird here, but his minimalist art was out in the middle of nowhere, and each piece of artwork had nowhere space around it. Like, to me, that was really cool. Like, the grand design of it out in the middle of nowhere in Texas, where there's, like, so much space, right?
Right.
Instead of, like, New York, where there's crammed space.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like that was really cool to experience that. And in that, it evoked emotional response.
Right.
Because it was devoid of emotional response. So I thought that was really cool about his artwork. Because even though, like, that was, you know, months and months and months ago, like, it's still...
You still think about it.
I still think about it, and I still see it, and I still feel from it. Just like the stupid urinal, it does the same thing. And the cup with the fur, I remember the first time I saw that art in a book, and I was just like, ugh. And it seemed like every time I opened my textbook, that picture was there, like, And it gave me like the chills. Like I will never forget that piece of
yes.
And to me, like that is where you take art and make it fine art.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's where people want to argue about what is art when they can experience that.
Right.
And so I think that's where the whole debate happens. And where some people might not see, like, the minimalism because they don't see the feeling,
right.
You know. And, like, that's why some people don't like the Mona Lisa. And they will argue that that's the worst piece of artwork. Like, people hate the Mona Lisa. Some people really hate it because it's not, like, all that beautiful.
Right.
You know.
She's not all that pretty and she wasn't smiling.
And there's no story.
Yeah.
There's no story to it.
Which
but
I think that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I respect it. It's, you know, there's, you know, so many pieces of art that you don't need to know the story. Look at the skill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of the Mona Lisa, we were talking earlier about, was it one of a kind or were there many different? There were at least four different versions of Mona Lisa.
That we know of.
That we know of, yeah.
None of them were smiling.
No.
She probably
and they weren't all painted by Leonardo da Vinci either. He had many students that painted for him.
Oh yeah, so. And they worked on his works and just like Michelangelo, he wasn't the only one who was painting at the Sistine Chapel. He had many understudies who were, you know, he might sketch something out and then have them fill in or whatever and things like that. Just like many well-known authors have ghostwriters, they'll create the shell of the story and then say, write a few paragraphs of where they do this, you know, or whatever. And the ghostwriter will write that part out. George R.R. Martin is one of those. He has a couple of ghostwriters who help him write his Game of Thrones
so
stuff.
Actually, so speaking of that... So there's three types, like main types of art. You have your visual arts, which we've been talking about mostly, architecture, ceramics, drawing,
right,
filmmaking, photography. Mm-hmm. And then you have literary arts, which is fiction.
Books.
Poetry.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have performing arts, which is like dance, music, and theater.
Yes.
So I think a lot of people, too, when you say what is art, the first thing they think of is like a painting or a sculpture.
Yeah. And actually, in there are various combinations of those as well. So like one of the things that my husband and I used to like to go to is interactive art exhibits. So it's a place where someone let me try to give examples of some of the things we've done. A video is shot onto a shaped screen where like you stand in front of a camera and the video of your face is projected onto a face shaped sculpture on the wall. It distorts the way you look. You know, but that's the interactive of art. In the Discovery Gardens, the AT&T Discovery Garden in downtown Dallas, there is an interactive music and visual art. It's done with lights and music. And when you touch or move near certain parts of this dome, you're inside this little dome, and when you touch or get near parts of it, it plays notes and lights up different parts of the interior of this dome. The one that had the face, another interactive art that we saw there was a video shot down onto a like fiberglass boat bottom, and the video that was being shown on it was of whales in the ocean swimming. Beautiful, beautiful video. And it was overlaid with information about the plastics that are in our ocean. So the boat bottom was recovered, a piece of recovered Chinese trash that made it all the way to Hawaii, I believe. So it floated on the ocean all the way from China to Hawaii. And our, you know, our oceans are full of garbage. And it was, this whole video was talking about the disaster of our environment with these microplastics and trash in the ocean and things like that. There have been teepees or yurts or something like that where you go inside and there's music and stories being told as you walk around inside of it. There is currently being built, I don't know if it's accessible now or not, or if it was a temporary installation, but there's a bridge crossing from Texas into Mexico. And there was, I believe it was a Terry Allen installation. I may be wrong, so don't hate on me if I am, but it was a whole interactive installation on this bridge connecting the U.S. to Mexico. And I don't remember any details of it, but it was like there were some audio pieces to it and talking about the connection between the two countries and things like that. So, you know, that's a whole different kind of art because it's part performance, it's part visual. So there's, you know, there's that kind too. So,
mm-hmm.
And I love checking that stuff out because it's fascinating. But a lot of people would probably say they didn't consider that art. I don't know.
Because it's not on a canvas on a wall.
Right. Well, or it's not valued at thousands of dollars.
It's something that can't be sold. Installation art's actually really interesting because once it pops up and it's temporary art. It comes down and there's no like monetary mm-hmm. value of it because it no longer exists.
Right. Well, then you get into the whole idea of non-fungible credits, non-fungible.
Dad was talking about those, like the most expensive artwork ever sold.
Non-fungible tokens, which are digital creations, basically. So there's an artist named Beeple that my husband followed, and he does a piece of artwork, digital artwork, every day. And for the first, he took the first 5,000 of those and sold them as a non-fungible token. It's called Every Days, the First 5,000 Days. And it was a single, you know, purchase for all of them as a non-fungible token. And it is currently valued at $69.3 million. And it's not even a piece of art that you can look at. This is just a token. I think you have a certificate that shows that you are the owner of this piece of digital artwork. And it's a mosaic, I believe, of all those 5,000 pieces of art that he created. That is just insane to me. I mean, I'm not saying it's not art because I've looked at the pieces. He is a very talented illustrator, artist, graphic artist. It's fabulous, but that's just mind blowing to me. Yeah.
And that's also something really to think about. You know, graphic arts being considered art, you know.
Well, not that long ago, they were not.
Exactly, yeah.
Cartooning was mm-hmm. not, illustrations were not considered art.
You were a cartoonist.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I said cartooning.
An artist. Yeah. 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 So, again, it was anime. Cartooning. Yeah. Yeah, anime actually, like, has only, like, recently gained, like, public respect, you know, in certain circles. Like, people considered it kids' cartoons. It was actually, you know,
I mean, a lot of stuff goes in. A lot of stuff goes into that type of art. So, it should be considered art.
Right, yeah.
A lot of thought, a lot of consideration, a lot of planning goes into that.
Well, that
type of thing.
This piece that was sold by Beeple at Christie's, the art auctioners, was who sold it. It represented 13 years of daily pieces of art. Daily pieces of art. Think about that. 5,000 pieces of art, one every day for 13 years. Yeah.
Definitely, when you think about all the work you would do every day for 13 years, I'd like to get paid $69 million.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So here's a fun fact. Guess how old the youngest artist is?
I have no idea. I know there was a young girl who was painting when she was like 12 or 13, and she was selling at the art auctions for quite a lot of money.
Right now, the current youngest artist alive is Alida Andre. She was born in 2007, and she began painting at 9 months old.
Oh, wow.
And by 2 years old, she had her first art exhibit.
Wow.
There's a different child artist.
What was her name again?
Alida, A-E-L-I-T-A, and then last name Andre, A-N-D-R-E.
I'll put a link to that on the,
yeah,
heard it on the podcast. I'm curious.
Yeah.
I want to go look it up. Yeah.
It's just crazy. Think about, so like earlier I was saying, you know, anything that human hands create is art, right? Well, let's like back it up. What about animals? Have you ever seen the elephant that
paints? I have seen
the
elephants that paint.
Is that art? Or is that representation?
I think it would depend. I would have to know. It would depend. I would have to have an understanding of where the painting originates. Is the elephant just doing exactly what its trainer taught it to do? Or is it actually choosing colors and choosing to make these marks?
So artists who go to art school, are they really artists, or are they just...
Well, no.
Sorry, I had to throw that out there. Because I just had to play the
artists
devil's
who go to art
there.
School are taught how to make the marks, just like the elephant would have to be taught how to make the marks.
Right.
But...
Are they using their own
They're
judgment
using
and
their
decisions.
Own... Their own skill and creativity.
Is creativity possible in an animal?
That's the question. Is the animal actually creating? And that would be what makes it art.
And that's what made me think about the child artist, because is it luck that, you know, think about Jackson Pollock and his paint splatters, because some people debate, is that art? Because he's just splattering paint, but he's using
design
principles
in doing that. Yes.
So in that sense, like, because some of the paint splatters don't fall in the right place, so they don't look appealing to the eye, because those principles of design are what make you want to look at the artwork in the first place. So with the child's art at 9 months old, you know, when they're using the paintbrush and they don't even really understand what they're doing, you know, is their abstract painting just luck because the right colors and right shapes appear in the right place, or is it something else?
Good question.
So
I would have to see what she does. Mm-hmm. And I would also, I would need to have an understanding of the process that went into it. You know, where she be guided by her parents to do the marks mm-hmm, in certain mm-hmm, places? Mm-hmm. You know, did they select the colors for her and lay them out so that it was only pleasing colors?
Mm-hmm. They're choosing the palette for her and telling her, like, here, color this in. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be a question. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My art professor in college did not like happy trees. Bob Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did not like Bob Ross.
Right.
Because Bob Ross, you know, was kind of like regurgitating the same like techniques over and over again.
Right.
And the same repetitious patterns. And like he did a lot of things with like the paint knife where he would use the paint knife to lay the
big swaths of. Yeah. Yeah.
And so my. But actually, now that I think about it, my high school art teacher didn't like Bob Ross either. But I mean, the kids always loved Bob Ross because we watched him on PBS growing up.
Oh, yeah.
That was
yeah.
Happy Tree.
That we were all just like, wow, I want to be Bob Ross. You right, know, I want to yeah. paint like him. And, you know, he's kind of like a paint by numbers in a sense because he tells you like exactly where to put the tree mm-hmm. and how to paint. Mm-hmm. And you made me think of that because it's almost like kind of takes the creativity out of it if you're just copying him. But at the same time, like his skill.
But when you're in art class, it, you know, your art instructor is telling you the same thing.
Yeah.
You all paint the same painting, but it's going to look. No?
No. Actually, funny thing is that we always had the still life.
Yeah.
There's always a still life.
Yeah.
In the classroom. And I can't tell you how many times my still life turned into a landscape. It was always like bottles and stuff. And I would start.
Because my high school art experience was we would have a model or a still life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was what we were told to do.
Yeah.
Sketch this.
Mine always use this technique
to do this. Use this technique to do that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That it was all the same. I mean, they all look different, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were all doing the same subject,
yeah.
The same materials. Yeah. So, yeah. Like going to art, going to the wine, you know, what is it? Painting with a twist or whatever. Because uh-huh. that's basically what art,
yeah,
what
yeah.
Bob Ross is painting with a twist without the twist.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, yeah, that's what a lot of art classes are for a lot of people is.
Learning,
but you're learning the techniques in doing that. You're learning the techniques. Here's how you make trees
mm-hmm.
like this, you know.
Yeah.
Or one way to make trees or whatever. So, yeah.
We all start from somewhere.
Right. Right.
You kind of have to. You're not just born with the ability to make fine art.
No.
No.
No. Even if you are self-taught, you've probably learned from someone. You've either watched some YouTube videos or taken some art classes or something, you know, done some kind of class or something, or you've practiced a lot over, you know, decades. So it's, yeah.
Speaking of decades, what's your favorite art era?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know.
Well, what's your favorite piece of artwork? If you could just pick one. Like, if you were in charge of making sure this one piece of artwork survived the apocalypse, what would you pick?
I have no clue.
Good, me neither. No.
I actually, you know what? I think I'm going to take that back. I think, and I don't know if you remember seeing this. Well, I know you remember seeing it because we talk about it all the time. When you were in high school, Girl Scouts, We went to the Kimball Art Museum to see a special exhibit, and I don't know the name of the exhibit or anything, or the name of any of it, but it was an exhibit of the documentation of the building of the Taj Mahal.
Yes.
And it was a series of like parchments or whatever. The Raj who built the Taj Mahal, I guess he was a Raj, had also got these artists to make a historical documentation of the building of the Taj Mahal. And so there's these parchments that came from this book, or leaflets from the book or whatever, of each of the steps in building the Taj Mahal. And they are hand painted in the most minute detail.
Yeah, I remember that. It was like you want to just look at them with a magnifying
glass. Yeah, you walk into the exhibit and they hand you a magnifying glass and you just walk around and look at these paintings on this parchment paper or whatever it was done on. And you, when you hold that magnifying glass up to it, you see the tiniest details, like the tassels on these elephants that were so finely drawn. I can't even imagine. It's like the artists who draw on rice. I know you've seen them at the fairs, yeah, and stuff like that. Very similar to that. It was so microscopically detailed. It was amazing. The most beautiful thing I have ever seen in my entire life, literally. And I think that probably, because it's still, even 25 years later, still evokes this joy, this awe,
mm-hmm,
for me.
Ultimate respect of the art. Yeah.
Yes. And it was multiple artists working on it, but like I said, 25 years ago was when I saw this, and I will have to find the information about it and link that on the podcast if I can. I don't know if I can, but if I can find it, I will. It is. I hope there's out there on the internet somewhere, some graphics of it somehow, because it really was awe-inspiring. And I think that is probably that one, and a photograph that I saw in Marfa, that which we have talked about many times over, mm-hmm, as well. It was a black and white photo taken by, we were in a little boutique. Actually, it wasn't in Marfa. It was in Alpine, I believe.
Yes.
And it was a mother daughter ran this little boutique shop, and the daughter was a photographer and artist, and she had some photographs for sale. And this was titled Blue, I believe was what it was titled. And it was a photograph. It was a self-portrait of her, like with the camera up under the bed, pointing outwards under the bed, and she was laying on the floor looking under the bed, and everything is in black and white except for her eye, which was the most beautiful color of blue. And it was very sad and telling. It was like not like she was looking under the bed for something lost. It was like, I'm lost and I want to be under that bed. This is, you know, she was blue,
mm-hmm,
and it was a beautiful photograph. I still think about it from last summer. I wish I'd bought it. I thought about it, but I didn't, but it was a beautiful photograph. And that's another one that I find very, very striking. And it may not have struck someone else in the same way, but it touched me. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I just loved it. What about you, Amber?
Favorite artist or
artist
or piece of
art? Piece of art.
Oh, if you could just save one, which one would it be?
Are we looking at what kind of art are we looking at? Like paintings?
Any kind.
Oh gosh. Well, probably. This is tough. Like if we're gonna go with paintings, I would have to go with everybody's favorite,
Starry Night.
No, actually, that's not my favorite Van Gogh. I was gonna say Van Gogh's Sunflowers, but like everybody's favorite artist, which is Van Gogh. Like he's definitely, you know, there's those pop culture, like Bob Ross, pop culture artists mm-hmm. that everybody can recognize. But yes, Starry Night is really awesome. Yes. But I really
he's
like
probably
his.
One of my favorite styles of art.
Yeah, so like anything postmodern, of course, in that type of style. But I do like Warhol. I like his style, and I do like Pollock. Last time I went to the Kimball Museum, there was some really cool Pollock paintings there, as well as Warhol paintings. They do have some Warhol paintings as well. So, Dolly. I like Dolly. George O'Keefe. There are so many artists that I like that I couldn't even tell you. As far as written art, you know, we have to go with Poe. Mm-hmm. Or Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I would say, like, if you could do, like, if words are art, I would say Shakespeare's words in themselves, since he was such an inventor of words, mm-hmm. are art.
Oh, yeah. So, for me, if it was a visual art, it would be Rembrandt's Self-Portrait.
Rembrandt is pretty awesome also.
Probably, like, not as detailed and fine art as like the Taj Mahal or Starry Night or something like that. But I love his self-portrait. I think it's called Staring, where he's making like a duck face. I don't know. Like mm-hmm. the time period, to me, it's really interesting. He's got a lot of self-portraits. And I think that a self-portrait is probably one of the hardest things to draw, because you're the most critical of your own self. And he had so many, you know, he was really practicing, you know, his skills with that. And there's the one that's called Staring. He's actually like has a furrowed brow, and he's like got his lips pursed, so he's kind of got like a mm-hmm. shocked look on his face. And that's probably one of my favorites, just because it's different, because in that time period, like, people didn't have funny faces in their portraits. You know, when people sat and got their paintings made, they sat for hours and hours, and so they were just kind of sitting there with a, you know, plain face, you know. And then if it was a visual art, like a performing arts or like graphic arts, I would say probably Curse of the Golden Flower by Zhang Yimou, which is a movie. The Chinese film.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that movie is probably one of the most beautiful cinematography experiences I've ever had. Or Kira Kurosawa's Dreams. I really enjoyed that film as well, because I thought those were very beautiful films. the manpower for Jang Imo's movies, like thousands of people in his movies.
Well, that's like Akira Kurosawa.
Some of his stuff was fabulous. House of a Thousand Daggers or something like
House
that.
House of Flying Daggers.
House
yeah.
of Flying Daggers,
same,
yeah.
Same guy, yeah.
Yeah, that would be that was a beautiful mine, movie too. Like my most beautiful movie for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad I introduced you to that one.
Yes, you
should
you
go
did.
Watch those movies if you haven't seen them. They are beautiful.
You did introduce me to that one.
Now I want to go home and watch those on my TV. All right, well, I think we have pretty much covered art in all of our random thought patterns of what art is. I would love to hear what everybody else thinks about it, too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Hit us up on Facebook on our MMC chat. Check out our blogs. Give us a like and a share. Comment on our podcast. Let us know what your favorite type of art is. So, yeah. What are we talking about next week?
Next week, we are talking about ways to lower stress. So, you know, we're probably going to come up with a top 10 list or something like that.
Yeah, man, definitely stressful time of year. So,
isn't it always every time of year?
Nah, for a teacher, right? This time of year is the
totally.
Most stressful
yeah.
time of year.
Absolutely. Coming
beginning
up
of the
year
is a piece of cake compared to testing season.
The end
and
of
the end
year,
of the year.
Wrapping
yeah.
up and getting it all done before it's too late. And
yeah.
Everybody needs to pass. And yeah.
So a million years of stress going on in my life right now.
That sounds like a scary movie. A million years of stress.
Right? That's going to be if I make a scary movie, that's going to be my art movement. I'm going to make a scary movie called A Million Years of Stress.
Okay. That would be a horror, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, art house movie for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For sure.
Get some somatic... the imagery in there so people can
all the sounds that stress people out.
Oh yeah.
And the things
just
that
leave them
give
feeling
people
creepy.
The creeps. Yeah, yes. The feelings just, like sandpaper and fish.
It's just going to be one big long ASMR movie. Cuz stresses me.
You can
out.
Do it in multi-sensory things so you could have horrible smells too.
Yeah.
And those sounds
stress
and,
people out.
Yes.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hit me up and help me fund this movie. I'm
just kidding. Right. Oh, this would be low budget cuz I got all the years of stress for you right here.
Yeah,
I'll give them
yeah.
to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to film it with my phone camera and then
oh, and make sure your hand is shaky so
yeah.
it stresses people out.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
I actually right. do have a video camera. I probably could. Okay, well, we would like to thank Creative Audio Tech for our music. And we would also like to thank our listeners. Come back next week and help us relieve the stress.
Bye.
Bye.